podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
What a magnificent way to come back after being dropped so many times in and out of different formations. You know, as a captain sitting on the bench, it's difficult. I just cannot believe the last few games of form he's had in the run-in. That is clutch play. And for anyone out there who wants to criticise him in the future, just remember, it might just be a moment. It's okay to criticise players. I'm okay with that, because if they're not playing well for your team and you're paying money, that's okay. But just remember, it might just be a moment in the middle of the season or early in the season, and you might just forget that at the back end of every season that he plays with us, he is clutch. He is clutch like a clutch on a car, and he's sticking into fifth gear and he is driving us into the future. He will never be forgotten. When he dropped to his knees at the end, I almost teared up. I mean, I got teared up anyway.
Who's that you're talking about?
Joe Worrell. Daniel, a Forest fan in Geneva here. Love the pod. Was wondering whether you might know anyone off the top of your head who would know where to watch Forest in Paris. I'll be there for the Palace.
There's definitely a French fan. There's got to be a French fan group, right? We've got people in 100% of Hawaii.
Yeah, there 100% is. There's a fan group I saw on Twitter, 100%. And there's definitely Forest fans in France. No question. We'll reach out to them. Mark, love the podcast, fellas. Listening from Australia. And he said he's born and raised in Perth, Western Australia. My parents are from England. I've supported the club since the early 90s. Managed to get to the City Ground in 2011 and then followed the team the next week at an away game at Millwall, hoping to get to a game next season. That's Mark.
Wow, all the way from the west coast of Australia. And not an expat, a native. That's exciting. Get in touch. Let's get you... A native Perth resident on Sports Forest. That would be awesome.
You hear that, Mark? Okay, and then next we have AJ. Hey, Chris and Matt, I'm a Forest fan from upstate New York. I don't know any other Forest fans in my area, so your podcast helps me feel a part of the camaraderie. Just wanted to thank you for your great content. That's already really sweet. And I know you're having a great stag, Chris. You Reds! And then he has a picture of his child with a Forest top on. That's amazing. Sent through. Brilliant, AJ. There's New York fans. We've had Dan on. So reach out to Dan. I think Carl as well. But there is definitely a New York fan group.
Giving people their first names? Or you got actual helpful like social media handles that you can share for these people to get in touch?
Well, I'm obviously gonna send these things to them privately. I don't want to just spend. Marcus is actually down in London. He lives in London. I had the honour of standing next to Matt at the Villa game when we both melted in the sun. I didn't know about the pod then, but I do now. Keep up the work, lads. I have managed to bag a ticket for Chelsea. This is before the Chelsea game. I just missed this. And the wife has allowed me the afternoon off. Are you guys going? That's the same. I wrote back to him, obviously, and we've been chatting since. That was before the Chelsea game, so that was a while ago. But Marcus saw you at the Villa game a while back.
I remember Marcus. We were chatting away. He was a lovely, lovely lad who managed to get to a lot of away games. I didn't advertise the podcast there, but yeah, we were sat right in front of Dora on tour, so I was a bit starstruck for the whole game.
Yeah. Well, how was that sort of Forest all over the world section? It's a good little start. It's a good little intro.
Yeah, a bit slow, and it was a bit of congratulatory.
I don't think it was self. They're congratulating us. I'm just reading what they say.
Yeah, it's reading out all of them. Anyway.
Well, okay, well, you know what? Next time someone has a compliment, I won't read it. Is that where we're going with this? You're leading this podcast, so you lead it like the ship in the right direction and not like Captain Jack Sparrow, a pirate. Let's go.
Welcome back. It's a new feeling, a new unknown feeling for us Forest fans. How are you doing? How are you coping with it?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very, very well.
But how are you coping with the feeling?
The feeling of what? The feeling of having
the suspiciously comfortable. The suspiciously comfortable feeling, for once, of being a Forest fan. I'm sure it'll only be temporary.
Well, it's only for one game, and then the start of next season will start again, and the stress will begin again. But the stress is what made this season so special, and is what made it such an amazing feat, because everyone wrote us off.
I think this is what it feels like to be a Crystal Palace fan 100% of the time.
Well, Palace have had their ups and downs, but you mean currently in recent years?
They're just so constantly... Huh?
In recent years, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's a joke.
What, are you saying I ruined the joke? Or you know, and I know I spoke about this in the last one. I don't want to talk too much about my stag because we spoke about it a lot in the last one. And obviously,
I was going to say, don't mention the stag.
Well, like, I'm trying not to, but I'm not mentioning it again. All right. But that's where I was. We were in Budapest. Yeah. We're technically all over the world. All right. So we were in Budapest and I was next to my brother, the Arsenal fan, who kind of in a weird way kind of was happy Forest won because, you know, Arsenal kind of already lost the title apart from the end when I was really smug with him. But, That reaction was actually, it looks like it's fake, but I was genuine. I was genuinely like in tears and it got taken down actually on Twitter. It's just still up in the Instagram store, but it got taken down because the background had a TV in it or something, which is pretty ridiculous. But look, anyway, the main thing is I it was absolutely insane. And I there was one moment where I kind of blacked out and it was, you know, when we scored the goal, was it 20 minutes in we scored or something?
Yeah, about 18, 90 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know where you were. I ended up the other side of the room in this little bar in Budapest, banging the table. I was just like, there was people watching the Bundesliga, right? The Bayern Munich in the other corner of the room. Some people watching the rugby. And I'm over one corner of the room. I just went straight over to the table, started going, yeah, yeah. And where were you? Where did you, because you arrived, right, slightly late. But where were you?
I missed the first 10 minutes of the game. Celebrating the goal, me, you and Jack were doing it together. We were screaming, jumping.
Where were you? Where were you behind me? Were you? I couldn't remember where you disappeared to.
I didn't disappear anywhere. I was just going mental in the bar like everyone else. Well,
with all the Bayern Munich fans around us going, what's going on with those guys?
Well, we got a lot. There seems to be a lot of people going, yes, Nottingham, Nottingham. I remember hearing a lot. Do you remember?
I don't remember much. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah, but we were definitely the main Forest fans in there. But yeah, it was. So what's the question? Where was I when you were celebrating?
Yeah, because I remember the end hugging you, but I don't remember because I was like looking for you and I couldn't find you. But you were behind me or somewhere, or were you just jumping around?
Yeah, probably. I'm like you. It's just a moment of madness, isn't it? It's going crazy.
Yeah. Oh, look. Anyway, the whole thing was brilliant, and to tie it in with an important weekend, and you know, after you guys stitched me up and made me wear a Derby jersey for like the first little part, you know, that's cliche thing of, oh, he wears the team that he doesn't like, I had to wear a Derby jersey early on. But like to win it like that against Arsenal, the way in which we did, the manner in which we did, was just absolutely brilliant. It proved all the critics wrong.
It's funny that you called it back in January, February, I think you said we'll beat Arsenal 1-0.
Well, I just felt it. Like, I felt that we would beat...
But more recent, literally in last week's episode, you said, would you take a draw? And we had that spat about, I was like, well, what do you mean? What if I say no? And you go, well, if you say no, you've either got to risk a win or a loss. Yeah. And I went, well, I'll go for the win. And you didn't, do you remember?
I would have taken a draw. It's funny, someone wrote into us saying, Tom, shared it to him, wrote into us saying, I can't believe you called the Arsenal game. Pity you backtracked a little bit on the last episode. And I was like, whoa. I didn't backtrack.
Tom.
I still predicted we'd beat Arsenal the whole season.
Yeah, but you backtracked as ever because you like to sit on the fence and cover your arse because you're not really into exposing you how you truly feel or want to...
Don't particularly want to get into an argument with you about something that's really good and special moment for both of us, okay?
Let's talk about the game. Like, how nerve-wracking was it? Like, that extra 7 minutes. I mean, it was nail-biting stuff. It was just... I was convinced we were going to concede. Convinced. I love how we sort of both said that Ødegaard would score outside the box and he becomes the one... that makes the mistake that gives us the goal. I mean, it's just excellent. It was just so excellent. And how right was I to say, let's lose Brennan? Let's keep with the Iwani and the floating.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
field,
like, right? well, in terms of strategy, you're correct, right? But you can't do that all the time. You know, like against Southampton, you need to go and attack and you need to have your wide players like Brennan absolutely gunning for it and basically creating every single chance, which is what he did in that game. But against Arsenal, lock it up, suck it in, hold with the back five and just, you know, just have a one year up top, just laying it off and counter on their mistakes, which is what we did early, and then just lock it up. I just didn't, the one thing you mentioned there is we didn't concede, and it's remarkable. Like, I think the last time was January. Was it January against, or was it Leeds? February? Like, we have conceded a load of goals recently. Two or more in the last like six games prior to this. And then literally we haven't kept a clean sheet in ages, in literally months. So for us to keep a clean sheet in that game especially, that was a big feat as well. And, you know, from what I'm hearing from the fans who were there, because neither of us were there, obviously, the atmosphere was the best atmosphere. And I know we keep saying that about different games, like the Liverpool was the best atmosphere, Wembley was the best. But apparently in the City Ground, that was the best atmosphere a lot of fans have ever felt.
I'm going to say something controversial on that point, actually. I was going to lead you into something else that I want you to say. But actually, just off that point, a bit controversial. People keep saying that it keeps getting better and better. And I was hearing something mentioned social media about how there was the Liverpool game in the FA Cup that year. We were in the Championship with Steve Cooper in the quarterfinal. That felt amazing. Then there was the Championship
semi-final playoff.
And then there was Wembley itself. And then there was West Ham at home. And then it kept building with the Man City in the scars for the last 10 minutes, just epic. And then there was this. Part of that storytelling is that the Man City game, which I was at, and I agree, it was an incredible atmosphere. But, and I would contest that even Wembley wasn't as good as what I'm about to say, but that Sheffield United penalty shootout where Brees Samba made the saves, that, and it's not really about what was best or biggest, but I don't want people that aren't Forest fans to think that we're only just getting excited now. Like those atmospheres last year were amazing, and I wasn't at the Arsenal game, so I can't really say. But just with what everyone says about all the other games this season, that Sheffield United semi final, like just look at the people like Door on Tour content, this sort of fly on the wall social media YouTubers that do Forest stuff. And just play them all next to each other. That penalty shootout with Brees Samba and the Brennan Johnson goal in the first half, like, it's uncomparable. Like, it was insane. I think we've just become numb to it. So then when we have a big one like Arsenal, it feels big and fresh again. But I don't know why I'm saying, I'm not dissing it. The point I'm making is there is a constant, wonderful atmosphere, loud volume noise. I still think that we need to have something to come straight in after Mullingham Tyre at the beginning. No matter what's going on, it goes Mullingham Tyre and then everyone sits down and it goes quiet for only a couple of minutes. But I'd love it if it, almost as it was petering out and everyone's going, yes, it was like the corner of the stadium started getting on with something else. Do you know what I mean? Just so it just doesn't even...
Well, on your first point there about...
Well, no, let's not dig into that too much. It's not interesting.
Well, I had a point to jump on top of that. I'll be quick and I just want to round it off nicely. Yeah. It's pretty simple. On your first point there, like, I think, obviously, it's down to the individual. Each person feels, and you're right, people keep saying it gets better and better. The Sheffield United one kind of feels like it was the one, but it's just easy to march on because we've been in the Premier League, which is, you know, higher standard, and go, oh, the Liverpool was the one. I mean, you've been to a lot of those important games. Both of us will never know about the Arsenal one because we weren't there, but I suppose it's down to the individual and what means more to them. If I was at a Man United game, I can guarantee you that would be right up there for me and I'd feel it more. But what I'll say is, isn't it amazing that we've had so many of these in just the last 18 months? So we've had, me and you used to go, do you remember that game 8 years ago
just
when we
imagine,
did this?
Imagine if Forest really can get into Europe in the next couple of years, next few years.
Oh, and then, you know, it's just the fact that we've had 7 or 8 of them in the last 18 months.
They need to get that stadium built, man. They need to get that second tier, that new tier built on the main stand. That's going to
You wanted me to move on. Now I'm getting you to move on.
Yeah. Crystal Palace coming up this week. I mean, there's so much going around. There's a lot of talk about it really doesn't matter. Dead rubber. Go and play a worldie. Get loads of goals. Play the Jack Colbacks and Surridge and Mighton and Lingard and all this. Like,
jeez, you called that. You said, we'll play Mighton. We'll play this player. We'll play that player. Before you said, imagine we can play. And I said, it's going to the last day before. And now we really can. Anyway, go on.
But what if Cooper? I think we should try and get 40 points and go above Bournemouth. Oh, I still keep hearing, despite the beat win against Arsenal, everyone's still chumming off Gary O'Neill and Bournemouth and going, yeah, he's had to put up with so much. He's finished really well. Cooper, O'Neill deserve it. But people are just saying that O'Neill's edging it. And I'm like, let's just finish it.
Hold on. See, this is the thing. Edging what? What are we talking about here? Are pundits saying this?
Pundits are saying, if you ignore obviously the Pep Guardiolas and the Mikel Artetas and De Zerbis and Eddie Howe's other contenders for manager of the month. I've just been listening to pundits.
The season,
like,
you mean?
Manager of the season, yeah, manager of the year or whatever. People are just giving a lot of plaudits to Gary O'Neill a little bit more than Cooper. I think if we beat Palace, Everton are going to beat Bournemouth. We finish above them.
I don't think it matters. And you can be a pundit now and I'll be me. And you ask me the question, right? Ask me the question.
All right, okay, Forrest have finished the season below Bournemouth and you bought all those amazing players. So Bournemouth didn't do that. So why do you think that Gary O'Neill isn't the better, more
successful
manager?
How you doing? Yeah, just phoning in as a Forest fan. Love the show, by the way.
You're already on the phone because I've already just asked you the question.
Okay, well then re-ask the question, but make it quicker.
Why do you think Gary O'Neill is better than... Why do you think Steve Cooper is better than Gary O'Neill?
It's not a case of think or no, because obviously we haven't seen their careers play out. But what I will say to you is, Gary O'Neill has inherited a part Premier League squad, right? Because Bournemouth went down and then came back up again. Yeah, I'm not saying his task wasn't tough. I'm not saying he didn't have good results at the back end of the season. Steve Cooper came up unstable. People like you were mugging him off on the radio over and over again. People like you asked for him to be sacked in October, and people like you started slating him for not being able to gel 30 players and slating our ownership for doing something. Well. Didn't it work? Hey? It worked out, didn't it? Twice public opinion called for our manager to be sacked. Twice the patience of the fans kept him in. You didn't give us a chance, and you slated us from the beginning. And now you're saying that he hasn't done it cheap. You can't have your cake and eat it. Either it wasn't going to work and it worked and it's a miracle, or it was going to work and it worked. Which was it? Because you keep changing your mind.
And that we're all idiots.
Sorry, what do you mean we're all idiots? Are you talking about yourself?
You said it either in the either-or scenario. Either it wasn't going to work and it was a miracle, or it was going to work and we're all idiots for saying that it wasn't going to work.
Exactly, but you are all idiots because you were saying it wasn't going to work in the first place.
Yeah, well, I'm less of an idiot for helping you make sense of your own point though, right?
You might be, but I'm still right, right?
Yeah. Well, so, I think, Chris, out of the improv, I think that you make good points. That's sort of what I was trying to goad out of you. It's like, and also, Bournemouth had that massive influx of players when they had parachute payments in the January, just 6 months before we did our... Do you know what I mean?
They bought a couple of players in January as well. They bought a couple of decent players in January.
I'm talking about the last January in the Championship before they screwed us over and cancelled our game because someone broke a sign off the wall in the storm.
How many injuries did they have? They had a few, not as many as us. No team. Yeah. We were the second most injuries in the Premier League.
Yeah,
right?
Chelsea.
It's absolutely crazy. Yeah, except we didn't spend 500 million like that.
The other thing that people sort of repeatedly say is the squad size. Doesn't everyone get limited to a 25-man squad?
I wish I knew the answer. I think so, yeah. Don't they?
Yes, they
unless
do.
You can, yes, unless you call up someone or like try and do what we did with Steve Cook.
We didn't do anything with Steve. Yeah,
no, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, unless you add someone else in after the fact. You're saying you get limited from the beginning? What are you saying?
The point is when people go on all good, but they've got a big squad, they should be able to handle it. It's like, no, everyone's got a limit of 25 people in the squad. So shut up. This is a moot point.
Agreed.
I'm not saying that to Chris, everyone. I'm saying that. Yeah.
Anyway, don't worry. They don't mind you being rude to me. They're used to it.
We're getting a little bit lost here.
Yeah, we are. We're out of control. Let's get back to Palace.
Crystal Palace. Like, I just really think, based on all of that, what we've said, because of that, I'd love to finish on 40 points above Bournemouth. And I think the one thing that would be nice to get Jack Cole back on there and to get... to give him a sort of testimonial... Jump into my grave before I'm dead, he says.
We talk for a second about Jack, quick. I think we need to, because I think Jack Colback, everyone will do this, and that's fine, but he deserves it. I think he spent 5 years overall with us. He was part of, like, really tough times at Forest, you know, missing out in the playoffs. I don't know if he was part of that year, but he was part of the year after, definitely, where we finished 17th, you know. And he's had some amazing moments. I remember at City Ground, he scored 2 goals against Leeds and we beat them 4-2 ages ago. And I also remember, obviously, his goals last season, the amazing one against West Brom. The most important goal for me and the one that I will always celebrate is the one against Sheffield United that kicked off that semi-final first leg. Right place, right time, neat finish. Scores great goals, and for a defensive midfielder, that is pretty impressive. And just a rock, just always a professional. Played left back for half a season. Massive, massive shout out to Jack Colback.
It'd be amazing
legend.
If he got a goal against Palace. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Someone write that in the stars. Cooper, get your turn the lights off again and do something else magical in the pre-match, so we want Cooper get play him up front, for God's sake.
Oh, it'd be unbelievable. Anyway, so Palace game. What are you thinking? Who would you play? Like, obviously, you want to win this game, right? We want to get above Bournemouth, because I think Bournemouth will lose to Everton. So we want to get above Bournemouth.
Yeah. So
who are you playing?
We don't do five at the back. I just go for Woolly Bolly and Worrell at centre back, because we've got no Felipe, obviously. And I'd stick. I'd put Toffolo in. I don't know. Or do you wait? No, just stick Renan Lodi in and make him less panicky about having to defend. Let him enjoy all that going forward flair and pace he's got. So Renan Lodi, Bolly.
Back four, play 4-3-3 and just go with them, make it fun.
Yeah, 4-3-3, make it really fun and energetic. And I'd stick, I'm trying to work out at the three, you've got Taiwo, Gibbs White, and Johnson. Although Gibbs White's so much better in the middle of the park, mate. I think there's times where he hasn't been so good when he's been forced out on the left, right?
Yeah, but he was
maybe
kind of.
Have him in a pocket behind Brennan on the right, Taiwo on the left up front. But
yeah,
it would
but
be nice.
Taiwo's
to
been
Lingard
moved into the middle lately. Like, Taiwo's been stepped into the middle a bit more.
How are we going to be saying goodbye to Jesse Lingard? Or like.
Yeah. Will he play? Is that it? Because I know he's not coming back.
Who do you take out? Morgan Gibbs White?
Take out Gibbs White. Just play Jesse. Just give him one final game. Like, he had a couple of games. Listen, Jesse Lingard helped us on our cup run. He helped us beat Spurs. That was probably his best game. He helped us beat Blackburn. He had a great game against them as well. Like, he did help us on our cup run to a semi-final. We forget that in this season, by the way. We made a semi-final of a domestic trophy for the first time in 30 years. So we do forget that. That happened. And Jesse Lingard was a small part of that. I mean, actually a big part of that, but a small part of a big part of our season. So I think get him to play. Why not?
Yeah, so you get Lingard up. Get Lingard, Johnson.
Are you going to play Moyton? We playing Moyton? Play Surge? You got to play Surge. Leave Taiwo off.
So we're only playing forwards.
Yeah. Why not?
That's quite cool. And even stick Jack Cole back up front as well. Let's play everyone up front. Cooper's got to do something. It's such a shame. He'll probably do a load of subs to give everyone a go.
Yeah.
Why not? I just hope that we then win it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I'd love to beat them just because, like you said, get above Bournemouth. It's actually a little bit more prize money as well. I think it's 2.5 million extra per place. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. Quick question. Like, I don't want to look too much forward beyond the Palace game.
Suddenly, all the people listening to this leap to their phones and start tweeting you.
Quick question. Okay, quick question. Do we want to get the band back together again?
Like, Jed because Spence?
You know exactly what I'm talking about, Jed Spence. Do we want to get the band back together? Because it looks like we're interested.
It kind of depends on what happens with Aurier. It kind of depends on what happens with. Yeah, it depends on what
Williams
happens with
Williams will stay. Williams can play both sides. You know, and it's not like we're not rotating fullbacks anyway. We rotate them all the time.
Do you reckon we'll sign Renan Lodi?
I don't know, 25 million. But I think they're going
to. We jumped in. Look, listen, I've got that on. Next week, we're talking about the raid. We're talking about
the raid.
Yeah. That's all next week. And that's. We'll worry about potential transfers and all that. We've talked about Palace. We want to win. You've heard our sort of mashed potato version of how we want the lineup to go. Let's just talk a little bit about who you want to go down. You've kind of mentioned it. You think Everton are going to win, so that kind of answers that question.
No, but that's who I think will go down. I think that, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's good for us because Everton might be getting a points deduction.
Yeah, that's what I know.
All things considered.
Yeah, if so, they get a points deduction start next year. Look, I'd like.
Leeds staying up with their new takeover could be dangerous for us.
I'll be honest with you, and a lot of Forest fans will hate me for this. I would like Leeds to stay up, but they have the most chance of going down now after that West Ham game. I think Leicester, Matt, if Bournemouth, so something to note, Bournemouth were relegated by Everton a few seasons ago. So they might not forget that. Now, I don't know, the fans won't forget it anyway. So they might want to do over Everton. And Leicester have a winnable game, last game of the season. I wonder could Leicester sneak it, but that would be bad for us. I think we need Leicester to go down because they have a good squad, and I just think they have the quality to do us in next year.
It looks quite. I don't know. I'm not so sure. As long as Leeds go down, I'm not really arsed. I quite like Everton to stay up for the reasons I said a minute ago about their possible points deduction could help us out next year. But then also you've got coming up, Sheffield United can be our new sort of rivals. that's going to be a natural one. Burnley will be an interesting thing because they've been a Premier League team for the best part of the past several years anyway. And now they're even better around with Kompany, so I think they'll be tricky. But Sheffield United, they're only allowed to spend 20 million or something. And
Luton or Coventry?
Well, yeah, we don't want Luton coming up. They're another London-based team. Because we don't want another Brentford-esque rising star out of nowhere. Coventry,
London. Players aren't going to go to
Coventry over Forest, but they might. I'm just talking long-term. Like, keep Luton out of there. I know it's quite cool and it's funky, but I smell danger.
Mm. No,
they've got the cool shirts, the cool body fitted shirts. They're starting to look like France. Do you know
who cares about the shirts? But I know what you mean.
It's just about young sporty footballers. I can see them being wooed in to go there. Coventry can come up. I think we can handle them quite easily. Sheffield United, no problem. Everton points deduction at least gives us a stronger start mentally than last year, and then we just build from there and hopefully start turning into a mid-table side.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I think, yeah, I do. I am a little bit concerned about that Luton club. Yeah.
Although it would be funny to have them come up purely for the sake that Nathan Jones is out on the, I don't know what you'd call it. He sort of screwed himself up by chopping and changing, trying the Southampton, then Luton come up and Jones is not going to get a chance in the Prem again unless he brings someone up. It's just
you're talking about Jones.
Nathan Jones is like...
Well, yeah. Jones shopped himself around on the last day of the season. The last day that Southampton were getting relegated, on the day that they were getting relegated, Nathan Jones went on Sky and put himself in the shop window and I'm going, you're part of this, mate. What are you doing? He didn't give any credit to the new manager of Luton either. And he talked about himself. Now, I know you have to do that for himself.
He's like, yeah, they've got up because I've put in place there, basically. It's like,
it's absolutely ridiculous. It's the most arrogant thing I've ever seen. And to do it on the day that... He didn't even do it at the end of the season. He waited till... He did it on the exact day because it was in the news cycle. And obviously he was asked on, but you can wait it out. He did it on the exact day Southampton were relegated. I'm thinking, you went in there and set that place on fire and then watched it burn. Do you know what I mean? Like, give it a fucking rest, Nathan Jones. And I don't know. I thought it was a lack of class and a lack of character, if I'm being honest. You know? Anyway, yeah. I have a quite quick question for you. I was chatting away with one of our listeners there, and they mentioned Morgan Gibbs-White and Brennan. Obviously, we know that they probably will likely stay on now for another season. But we need to prepare now to fill their spaces. Like, they've been so important to our season.
Yeah, I think right wingers are interesting. I think getting a backup Morgan Gibbs-White is
difficult.
Crucial.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? Because who we need a young gun who's going to learn from it, come in. I mean, Morgan's already, he's young, he's only like 23, but we need to prepare now because we know that in a year's time his value will be massive and we might lose him because he's that good. So it's weird to think about it like that. I know it's kind of a bit negative, but you know what I mean? It's like Brighton. Look at Brighton. They just keep filling the gaps. Trossard's gone. Oh, here comes an Evan Ferguson playing up top. I know he's not the same player. Here's Nciso. Here's Undav. I don't even know who these players are.
Yeah, yeah, this is all next week's stuff. You're talking about the Raid.
I'm not talking about the Raid. The Raid is who we raid from other clubs that have gone down, and that is next
week's
stuff.
Chris, I'm in charge of this episode, and I'm looking at the clock, and it's time up. We're talking about possible transfers. You can bring that up. It's a good talking point.
It's not transfers.
We've done who we want to go down and who we want to go up. Our outro is now playing next week.
There you go.
You'll hear from us again. Chris, give me a score prediction against Palace.
I think we're going to beat Palace, and I think we're going to beat them 2-1. And I think Palace are going to come out. They're going to get a bit lackluster, score a great goal, Eze will score, and then Forrest will just start to turn the temperature up a little bit, and Cooper will start to turn the tactics up a little bit, and he'll go, you know what, I fancy beating Bournemouth here. Bournemouth are losing to Everton, it's half time. You know what, turn the temperature up on Gary O'Neill's clock, and we'll win 2-1, and it'll be, you know what, you know who's going to score? Can you guess?
Callback. Mighton and Lingard and Surridge.
Jack Colback and Sam Surridge. There you go. I called the Arsenal game. Ish.
I think it's going to be more like a 5-all. Because they've got, what do you say? Because he's just been called for England, hasn't he?
Who? Eze, yeah. Morgan Gibbs-White wasn't called up for England. Did you see that?
Yeah, but he's...
He's got time.
He will next year.
And I think it's because players like Maddison and stuff have been doing it for years. But he deserves to be called up. It's a matter of time with him. It really is. And did you see Jamie Carragher pick him as the best signing of the year on Sky Sports? Did you see that?
I did.
That was pretty cool. I love it. Yeah. Sorry, is the music rolling or what are we doing here?
Yeah, you can. Do you want me to turn it up for you?
Please do. Follow us.
Bye-bye.
Forest All Over on Instagram or at NFFC All Over on Twitter. Alternatively, go to forestallover.com. Thanks to all the listeners. Can you do us a favour and just anyone who's still listening, who listens from all across the world or anywhere in Nottingham or wherever you are, I don't care if you're next door to me, can you please like and subscribe to our stuff? Give it a rating on Spotify or Apple. It does help us. Please do that stuff. We'll be back next week for the episode likely entitled The Raid. And that's it, Matt.
Good night. Thank you so much, football players at the Forest and Steve Cooper, because I'm still trying to get used to this feeling.
Sports Social Podcast Network.